What is going on, everybody? You are listening to the J Red Show on Anchor and Spotify. The Buffalo Sabres made two moves, two contract extensions. First, they re-signed Tage Thompson to a 7-year, $50 million contract. Then they signed Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen to a 2-year, $837,500 contract. Thompson came off a very successful 2021-2022 season, scoring 38 goals and 30 assists for 68 points. And this is kind of a risky move for the Sabres, even though he had a very good year last year. He had one great year, no doubt, but did he overachieve? Will he regress? So, I mean, that's a huge risk the Sabres need to take right now. But frankly, at this point, Kevin Adams and Don Granato and the Sabres organization just need to take whatever risk they can to try to get this franchise back to relevance. The last 2 months of last season is a start. Those 2 months have given me and most Sabres fans hope that this Sabres team is finally going to emerge from the abyss of the NHL and finally become a relevant franchise again. After an entire season of struggling to put fan to get fans to fill out the arena, in the last 2 months, they were finally selling out the arena. They were finally getting good hockey. They were finally looking like a good team and getting that excitement back at KeyBank Center. This year, I mean, expectations are still low, but they're higher than what they were last year. This year, I think the division is too hard for the Sabres to make the playoffs. But we really want to see this team have this season not be over by Thanksgiving. Go into April and look at games and say, this game is huge. It has huge playoff implications. Give us meaningful games in April. Something this franchise has not had since 2012, 10 years ago. Other than that first year under the Pegula ownership, the Sabres have not even come close to a playoff spot. They have not had that big game where Sabres fans are looking at the standings and hoping things fall right to get into the playoffs. To put into perspective, the Buffalo Bills, in their 17-year playoff drought from 2000 to 2017, there were only 3 seasons where they failed to win 6 games. 2001, 3-13, 2005, 5-11, and 2010, 4-12. In most of the seasons of the drought, the Bills would get a big win late in the season. And Bills fans will be like, all right, we got a big win. Now we need this, this, and this to happen for the Bills to make the playoffs. Of course, this didn't never happened until 2017 when Andy Dalton completed that pass to Tyler Boyd. But Bills fans were always sold optimism. They were always sold hope. Now, tanking is supposed to have its rewards. Though, in the North American sports, the worse you are, the higher the draft pick you get. And the higher the draft pick you get, the more likely you're going to land a generational player. I know the tank argument is a huge argument among Sabres fans, but I will still defend the Sabres' decision to tank from 2013 to 2015. And I know the Eichel era was a disaster. The Buffalo Sabres drafted Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhart, and they weren't even close to the playoffs in the 6 years they were on the team. And yes, Terry and Kim Pegula are absolutely to blame for it. The way they ran the team was wrong. The coaches and general managers they hired was wrong. Still, you gotta wonder how much better these last 6 years would have been had they gotten Connor McDavid and Sam Bennett. And as much of a problem as the Pegulas were, so was Jack Eichel. He was a locker room cancer, and I think he proved that when he went to Vegas. And now, the Sabres have a new core. Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin, Tage Thompson. Another reason it's a huge risk for Tage Thompson to pan out is because Thompson was a part of what was of a disastrous Ryan O'Reilly trade. The Sabres traded Ryan O'Reilly to St. Louis, and he won the Conn Smythe. So, it is a big risk. But that's what the Sabres need to do if they're going to try to get back to relevance. In Rochester, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was 15-14-6 with a 3.28 goals against average and a .900 save percentage. And in Buffalo, he was 2-5-2, 2.74, and .917. And again, a huge risk for the Sabres. But if the Sabres are going to make that playoff run sooner rather than later, they need that hot goalie who can steal games. As I said earlier, as of now, the biggest reason why Sabres fans shouldn't expect playoffs this year is because the division's too hard. But you gotta figure at some point, you gotta figure that either Boston or Tampa Bay or Toronto, these teams should be aging out soon. The Lightning got to 3 cups in a row. Cup finals in a row, win the first two. It is really hard to repeat. But of course, they gotta look out for teams on the rise. Detroit is finally on the rise. Ottawa is finally on the rise. And I look at the Pegula family and about how their era of Buffalo sports is gone. And the reason why this has gone so right for the Bills and so wrong for the Sabres is because, one, they hired the right coach GM to run the Bills, but two, they've meddled with the Sabres. Well, it looks like they finally got a good coach and a good GM, or at least a decent coach and a decent GM. If Adams and Granato can do to the Sabres what Beat and McDermott did to the Bills, great. But frankly, I just want exciting. For the next couple of years, I just want half of that. I just want exciting hockey. I want playoff games. And when Kim Pegula gets out of the hospital, she and Terry, she and Terry need to get to work on upgrading the arena. I mean, I think back to when they hired Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. In those first 3 years under their coach and general manager, some fans were skeptical because in 2017, it took an Andy Dalton touchdown pass to Tyler Boyd to break the drought. And then in 2019, they had a soft schedule. So I could understand why fans were skeptical towards Bean and McDermott in those first 2 years. Of course, it started in 2020. Josh Allen became an elite quarterback. The Bills are a Super Bowl contender, and there's no denying how good they are. But back to my point. I could understand why fans were skeptical in 2017 and 2019. But to me, it didn't matter that it took a fluke pass from Andy Dalton to get to the playoffs in 2017. It didn't matter that 2019 feasted on an easy schedule. It didn't matter that they only put 3 points on the board versus Jacksonville. Well, the Houston loss kind of bothered me because it was up 16-0. You should have get to the garage. It's Bill O'Brien. But whatever. My point is, we were dangerously close to never seeing another playoff game in this city ever again. And now, because of the upgraded stadium, the Bills are safe and secure in Buffalo for the next 30 years. There's going to be ups and downs. Every sports team has its ups and downs. I'm going to enjoy the Josh Allen era, hope they win at least one Super Bowl, and then when Allen retires or gets traded or gets injured, whatever, they'll start over and they'll go back to mediocrity. But back to the Sabres. As I said, they need to reestablish the connection to this city. They need at least a decent team. They need to upgrade the arena and secure their future in Western New York. They cannot dick around for much longer. Because if something happens to Terry and Kim, I think the Sabres will be fair game. What are your thoughts? Hit me on Twitter at JRedShow. College football has expanded its playoff format to 12 teams. I think this is a good move. I know some fans want it 8. I think you should have at least a minimum of 5. So you should have at least all 5 Power 5 champions. Well, the way they're going to go, it's going to be the top 6 conference champions and then 6 more wild card teams. So the first thing is I thought of UB and Mid-American Conference teams. I said to myself, what is a bigger reward for UB? To go to the college football playoff and get their asses kicked by Alabama, or go what they usually do and just qualify for a whatever bowl and go that way? I've talked to UB, some fans online, and they said the better result would have been the college football playoff. However, it's UB and any other MAC champion is going to need a hell of a season and get into the top 12 of the rankings if they're going to participate in the college football playoff. It's probably going to be next year's. It's probably going to be all 5 Power 5 champions, 1 group of 5 champions, 1 group of 5 champion, and then probably the other 6 will be from the Power 5 conferences. But one thing I mentioned is I think this is a good thing, but one problem with college football is the lack of variety. And the college football champions since 2007, LSU, Florida, Alabama, Auburn, Alabama, Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Alabama, Clemson, LSU, Alabama, Georgia. In college football, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Right now, your top four is Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and Clemson. The same old faces. And there might as well be a Grand Canyon in between Clemson and fifth place Notre Dame, as Ohio State soundly beat the Irish 21-10. The last time a college football team won its first ever national championship, Florida, in 1996. And this college football playoff is not going to fix the parity problem, because you look at the semifinals of most college football, of most games in the CFP, almost all of them are blowouts. We've had a couple close national championship games, but the CFP is the semifinals, we've seen a lot of blowouts, and we're going to see even more blowouts. We're going to see even more teams, a lot of teams that don't deserve to be in the playoffs, but they're there because the NCAA needs money. I mean, we see the same thing in the NFL. Ever since the NFL added a number 7 team, number 7 playoff team, the only close 2-7 game was Buffalo versus Indianapolis in 2020. Buffalo won 27-24 and needed to knock down Philip Rivers' Hail Mary to escape with a victory. Last year, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia did not deserve to be in the playoffs, as Pittsburgh got curb stomped by Kansas City and Philadelphia got curb stomped by Tampa Bay. The big game on college football today, we saw number 2 Ohio State defeat number 5 Notre Dame by a score of 21-10. C.J. Stroud was 24 for 34, 223 yards, and 2 touchdowns. It was an ugly game for Ohio State. They won it mostly with the defense. There were questions about how Ohio State would perform in Jim Knowles' first game as defensive coordinator. Early returns are quite promising. While the Buckeyes end up winning somewhat comfortably, it's only because their defense picked up a lackluster offense time and again. Notre Dame hit the occasional big play throughout the air. The Buckeyes did not allow the Irish to string together significant drives. The most significant difference was the pressure. Knowles threw all sorts of disguises at the inexperienced Buschner, like all of it, like blitzes, stunts, and pass rushers. Buschner guessing as an unsure of where to go with the ball, it worked for the most part. The Buckeyes finished 6 tackles for a loss of 3 yards. Ohio State has an issue at wide receiver. Now that Smith Nedjeg has suffered an undisclosed leg injury. Julian Fleming was banged up, but they did pick up in the second half as Uguba emerged with a 90-yard touchdown. And Notre Dame needs to find a run game. They lacked the explosive plays that they needed to beat Ohio State. Stroud needs to be better for Ohio State. I mean, he got the win, but he doesn't need to be better. Honestly, right now, I think it's going to be Nick's. My prediction is that it's going to be Nick Saban's Alabama Crimson Tide that wins a national championship. But what are your thoughts? Hit me on Twitter at JRedShow, and I'll see you later.